Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about why losing the obligation of result is the smartest thing an actor can do. I'll explain. Every so often an actor will ask me if I've written a book, and then I realize, yeah, I never really talk about it, so I'm going to talk about it now. I've written a book. I wrote it many years ago called The Real Life Actor. It's available on Amazon and Kindle and paperback. And, without being too biased, I'm going to recommend it. I mean, if you're the type of human being that likes to read things, I think you'd enjoy this book. I think what you would find most interesting is that you could easily understand what I'm talking about. So if you want a book on acting, please check out The Real Life Actor by yours truly. Coming up, I will be in Toronto from the 26th of November through December 1st. So if you would like to jump into those sessions, email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. I'm also confirming the fact that I will be going to Australia in February. So all of my Australian friends, I know I've been in contact with some and others have emailed me recently. I will be there. I'll set the schedule. And if possible, I'm going to visit all four cities as I have before. And that'll be, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and Brisbane. So again, if you're interested in joining any of those sessions, just email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. A very common obligation that an actor encounters in a scene is the emotional obligation, and specifically with regard to perhaps some sort of, emotional business, crying. The problem is, of course, when the actor looks at that obligation, an obligation that might indeed be completely justifiable. It may indeed be what the director is exactly looking for, what the writer intended. What, for all intents and purposes, has to occur in the scene for the show to work, for this end of this act to work, for the end of the movie to work. This is what is wanted. This is what's needed. Here we go, and action. It is hard not to feel the obligation of that result. So the emotional one, the one I just laid out, is a very common one, but there is an obligation, a perceived obligation in actors once they get wind of what they think they may be wanting to do or what the scene needs, or indeed, what someone has indicated the scene needs. So apart from the obvious emotional aspect, the breaking down, the crying, the losing it, whatever, there is all obligation. Obligation to do it this way, to be stern, to be angry, to be yelling, to be indifferent, you know, whatever that result is that is either written into the script, indicated in stage direction, being given to you by a director, spoken about by the writer, whatever it is, all of these things, as I'm sure you could easily see, would fall into the category of result. There is always going to be some intended result, some intended bit of direction, action that we want, the way that it is to be performed ultimately. That is, after all, why the director directs, right? We're trying to orchestrate the whole thing. And so the aspect of result is, of course, implied in the very fabric of what it is we're trying to create. So there it is. Today's podcast is about this idea that as much as you possibly can, while you may understand what the desired result is, you can never really pay it any mind otherwise. In other words, if you're supposed to break down and cry, if you're supposed to yell, if you're supposed to seem menacing, you can never concern yourself with the obligation of fulfilling that request. Doing so will usually undermine that wonderful, authentic work that you're trying to achieve. So it's a bit of finesse that the actor is called upon to do you have to, on one hand, understand exactly, of course, what everyone's looking for, what that desired way is that the powers that be want to kind of conduct the thing, and what they hope the result will be. On one hand, we have to understand that, of course, exactly what that is. Then on the other hand, we can really not pay it any mind. What we need to focus on is what it is that actually creates that result, what the point is we're trying to make, what our argument is, communicating how we feel about something, why we feel that way. We have to approach it the exact same way we would in life. It would be as cheap as showing up at a funeral of some friend's family member, your family member, and as you're getting out of the car, hoping that you will be able to cry when you're supposed to. That would be incredibly phony, and no one does that. Unless you're a sociopath, of course, unless you're Dexter and you don't really understand how people should behave, and so you have to make notes for yourself and then try and do that. Otherwise, it's never our concern. We would not be so shallow to think that way. Yet, as it turns out, more often than not, without even thinking about it, we end up behaving in the exact appropriate way. And if we want to make strong points in a discussion that turns into an argument with someone, and we get frustrated because we're not being understood, and we keep re-emphasizing why we are right and the other person is wrong, you know what ends up? We end up getting that result of looking just like someone who has really had it. The more I work with actors, the more I see that there is a result kind of oriented thing in their heads, and even though they try to cover it up, it's always there, and more often than not, I see it being the thing that generally derails their good, authentic acting. Without even being aware of it, they have made the result, that thing they're supposed to achieve, the tear, the yell, the shake, the cry, whatever it is, they have made that result without realizing that they've done it, the actual point of the scene, and not what they should have been doing, which was to make the thing that would ultimately cause that result to be the thing they're preoccupied with. I know this because one of the tells is when the actor finishes a scene and immediately is upset about what, you know, some aspect of the thing that didn't occur the way they wanted it to. They're unhappy with their performance. And it's always about a kind of result, the way it came off, the way it sounded, something kind of superficial. That's when I know they're looking at it improperly, because in real life, when people get frustrated and stop and lament about some aspect of a communication, an argument they had with someone, it's never about those kinds of things. It's about content. It's about, you know, getting the point across. Did they get the point across? Were they interrupted? Why they should have said something else? It's really about the content and the message and the clarification of what it is they were trying to do. That seems to be the thing that, if we come up short, frustrates humans more than anything else. You see, actors have to stop thinking about the result. You're going to know what the result is. You're going to read it. You're going to see it. You're going to be told it. But your job is to never worry about that, but worry about that journey, the circuitry before it, the preoccupation, the frustration, the sadness, the loss, what this means to you in your life. You just need to focus and concern yourself with the same things that a human being does, so that the net result of all of that becomes the result that they're looking for in the story. You end up hitting the notes they wanted you to hit. You never concern yourself with that specific note and just simply making it. You know that what you need to do is to backtrack and actually go through what the human being does that ends up creating that result. I was working with an actor the other day, and yeah, there was a little obligation kind of written into the scene that the woman would break down. And she was really good at it. She was just one of those people that had a wonderful, you know, kind of emotional instrument, and she could bring those tears right up. That stuff could come. It was right there, and it was the real deal, you know. My comment was, yeah, but here's the thing. What I'm watching right there feels a little too much like you were trying to arrive at this specific result. The result being these tears, the sadness in your voice. Me watching you go through the scene made me feel like really what was slightly more important than everything else was getting to this moment and making it look this way. And so to me then, it just rang, well, not as sincere. My intuition felt like I had been manipulated slightly. Like I didn't just watch something that kind of organically fell apart right in front of me, you know? I didn't feel that way. So the note I gave her was, listen, don't ever worry about that. What you always need to worry about in these scenes when you're communicating something that is tender and true, and then as a result of that particular journey you're taking right now, it ends up in some sort of sad tears or breakdown. I said, what's more important than anything is your sincerity. Just be sincere. I mean, actually discuss the thing you're discussing for the reasons that you purport to discuss them. And do it sincerely. Do it honestly. Just tell me about that thing. And trust that if you pursue it that way, honestly and authentically, that the result we get to will be the one we need in the script. Even if it isn't a tremendous amount of tears, it will not make a difference. Because if we arrive at it in a sincere fashion, the audience will always feel everything they need to feel. And that is really what is most important, is that we communicate our sincere feelings about something. And we can never have those sincere feelings that we're trying to communicate, we can never have that undermined by this sneaking result that we are opting for, that we are hoping for, that is going to come together at the last moment and cause tear shed. The other night in class, I was working with a wonderful actor, and he had a scene where he was angry, and he was angry with his wife. They were breaking up. They were going through a divorce. Immediately, I could see in the both of them the obligation they had to a result, and the result was they were both supposed to be spitting mad at each other. They were supposed to be angry with each other. Now, you might think, well, now, but if that's what the scene is, that's what the scene is. Why did you perceive it as a result? Well, because I could kind of tell that there was more on the energy, their face, the way they were about to start talking, attacking, it had more to do with this kind of visual, kind of sounding, angry result idea they had in their head, and not enough on a frustration and anger with what they were about to say, what it was that was truly bothering them, what it was that was truly frustrating to both of them, why they were feeling there was an injustice. You know, what was that injustice? You know, there was not the focus on that. It was really on kind of just getting up to this result speed that they felt they needed to be at. But as I looked at it, it just felt a little hollow in the sense that it didn't feel like something, well, angry and problematic and argumentative was about to happen. It felt more like two actors gearing up to have at each other. Now, look, there isn't a big difference between those two. I'm sure many people would look at both of those side by side and wonder what the difference is, but there is a difference. Not only is there a difference, but, oh, it's a big difference to the actor, because then the actor can actually feel it. They lose this obligation for some form they're trying to fill, and they forget about that. They don't worry about that obligation, about where they're supposed to be, but instead, they allow themselves to be frustrated, angered, preoccupied in that moment with an actual occurrence that theoretically has happened that they're now going to deal with. And when the actor puts their mind in that pocket, it's different. It's immediately authentic, and it's immediately recognizable as such. There's no doubt about it. And when those course corrections are made in my class, when I mention it, when we have a little chat like this kind of, and then they wind up and do it again, the beautiful thing is everyone in class can see it. That's really one of the great things about using this real life actor approach, because it's not about some sort of hocus pocus stuff that for some reason I, the teacher, can only see because I have magic eyeballs and no one else can quite see it, but you have to take my word for it. And even if you saw something you liked, I can tell you it's bad for this reason because I have magic eyeballs. No, because what we're doing is really kind of replicating the best that life has to offer. Everyone's very familiar with what that looks like, what authentic human behavior looks like. And so when we reconduct what's going on and it occurs, it's obvious, and I can sit back, and sometimes, of course, I make note. It's just obvious. I don't even have to say it. You can feel it in the room. So I know that what I'm telling you, while it may seem nuanced or subtle, or perhaps, you know, really, is there a difference between those two? I can promise you there is, and it is so noticeable that everyone immediately in a group watching it can tell right away. Which then, of course, underscores the lesson. What is the lesson? The lesson is, we never want to hit notes. We want to arrive at them. And therein lies the difference. We don't hit them in real life. We arrive at them. The note is never really the point in real life. It's always the journey to the note. That is what it's all about. And if we focus on that, our frustration and why, the injustice that we discuss, the objection that we make and why, the person that we miss now and why we miss them so, when we authentically and sincerely and for all the right reasons communicate those aspects of the story with one another, the notes, the result that the director, the story hopes for, are always arrived at. Certainly so much so that the story is served. But if we merely go through aware of what these notes are, these results that we're supposed to hit, and then put just a little bit more energy on the idea of hitting them, well, we've cheapened things, and we're not being as sincere, and so then not as authentic as we could be. I think being a masterful actor has a ton to do with trust. Trust in ourselves, trust in our own abilities. Trust that if we sincerely and authentically communicate our thoughts for all the right reasons, the things that we are in the story to do, if we pursue those things as our character is supposed to pursue them for the reasons indicated and told to us, the notes that we're supposed to arrive at will be arrived at. Actors have to lose the obligation of trying to nail specific results. You have to let that go because you see on its face, it's completely insincere. As I say it, you understand that, right? It's cheap and it's insincere, so don't do it. If you stop to think about it, the irreverent actors that you respect the most, couldn't you just feel that they wouldn't be overly concerned with a specific result, but they would be more concerned with the points they were making, getting them across, making sure they were clear, servicing whatever in the scene that the character's needs and desires were that needed to be serviced, servicing those things and never worrying about that superficial outer layer of result. That's what I got for you today. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.